Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. The price for our redemption has been paid. Christ has paid the price that we deserve to pay. But it's up to you and I to respond to His invitation. And He calls every one of us into fellowship with Himself and with one another. We can come with confidence today. We can come with confidence today because Jesus' blood is there on the mercy seat in heaven. We come with confidence in what Christ has accomplished and not what I can do for God. Because we have nothing to give God except that which He has first given to us. So every mountain shall be brought low and every valley shall be filled. The playing field has been leveled. There is one way. There's one truth. Amen. There's one life. There's one way, and that is Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we come by way of the blood, the cross.
Thank you, my Lord.
So there's no boasting except in Him. We don't have anything that we didn't receive first. And Jesus said, to whom much is given, the same is much is required. So if you have gifts, talents, ability, whatever He's given to you, we just need to be found faithful. We need to be faithful to what He has entrusted to us. Because we are to be stewards of the manifold grace of God. And the day comes when every knee will bow to Him, every tongue will confess He's Lord. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue will bow before the Most High. Amen?
Amen.
And that day, be well done, my good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, for I never knew you. So the choice is for us to respond to the mercies of the Lord that He is lavishing upon us right now in this moment of time called today. Today, this dispensation of God's graciousness to mankind to respond to His invitation for salvation. Today is the day of salvation. God will never force Himself upon us. He never will force you against your will to do anything. Because a relationship has to be consensual. Otherwise, it's not genuine. We can manipulate people. We can stir emotions. We can get people to make all kinds of decisions in a moment of emotionalism. And yet God looks upon the heart. He looks beyond all that, even to the heart of the matter. He knows who is being for real or not. There are no secrets. The light is on in your life. The light is on even in the secret places of your heart where you really live. God knows. And so what we do is we just come to Him and say, God, I have nothing in my hand to bring except a broken, empty vessel. And that's all we are, folks, apart from Him. He's the one who can satisfy your soul. He's the only one that can save you. You can't save yourself. You've got to step over the threshold into His arms. He calls you to fellowship. He didn't call you to play church. He called you to fellowship with Him. It's decision time. It's decision time for you. It's decision time for our nation. It's time for the church to wake up. Lord, light a fire in me for the sake of the world. I'm done playing church. You and I are called to be His ambassadors, His representatives on the earth, to declare His kingdom. Yeah. To proclaim His word, reveal His glory. It's what we're called to do. And we can't give anything, folks, that we don't have. And you have not because you don't ask. Isn't that true? Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. But when you ask God, do you put conditions on that? Do you put yourself in the place of, well, I can ask God because I'm such a great person? Or I can't ask God because I'm such a dirtball. I mean, how many know that none of us can approach His holy place apart from the blood of Christ? It's not based upon my performance or my righteousness. But folks, in order for you to be holy as He is holy, you must come into His presence. You cannot sit on the outside and watch others go in. You need to get in yourself. And God has flung, the heavens are open right now for you to come. Not with anything in your hand saying, God, look how good I am. But come as an empty, broken vessel that needs mercy. That I have nothing to offer except what You've already given to me anyways. And every area of our lives, including our finances, as we give only that which God has first given to us. And by giving, we are loving. You see, God is a lover. God loves you. He's a lover. And because God so loved the world, He gave. And so whatever we do by the motivation of the love of God and the love for God too. So as you give today, give unto the Lord. But the most important thing of all, folks, is that you and I recognize that we must present our soul. We must present our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. That's the most important thing of all, is that we give our lives to Him. We don't give God our spare change, our leftovers. When I'm done doing everything I want to do, then I'll give God a little time. But God gives you your very next breath. It is by His grace that you live. He has given life and breath to all. And because He is our Creator, and because He is a lover and He is the lover of your soul, He calls you to come to Him. Jesus said it this way, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Why? Because He wants to give you rest. Get out of the seat. Let Him be in that seat. Amen? Quit being your own Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. A lot of people are struggling because they're trying somehow to work it out. And the world offers us all kinds of solutions. But these solutions are only band-aids on a deeper problem. You cannot put a piece of new cloth on an old garment. You cannot patch things up, folks. You must be born again. You must be transformed by the power of God. A lot of people are just trying to patch up the old life, adding Christ to things. But Christ must be our all in all. He must be our number one. We must seek first the kingdom of God. He must be our number one priority in our lives. Because all good things come down from the Father of lights. Everything you need is in Him.
Amen.
Quit looking all these other places. Look to Him in all things. Acknowledge Him. He is the only one that's going to see you through to the end. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So because there are no secrets today, how many would agree with me it's a good idea just to say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm broken. I'm empty. I really have nothing by which I'm going to impress you. But I come to you as an empty and a broken vessel. And I ask you, would you bow your heads right now? Pray right now. Say, Jesus, I come to you as an empty and broken vessel. Lord, I want you more than the air I breathe. I want you to save me and change me and turn my life around and plant my feet on solid ground. Lord, I give you my life. Give me your life and set me free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't come to condemn us? But He came that we might be saved. Now, when the Lord came, He came with a message of reconciliation, didn't He?
Amen.
We can be reconciled. We can be brought back into right relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
And when He first came, He said, "For judgment I did not come into the world." But there were those who were listening to His message who agreed and said, "It's good. It is true. We receive it."
Amen.
And they were benefited by the word. But there were also those who were there who, when they heard the word, they did not agree with it. They decided that, "I don't like that. That doesn't line up with the way I want my life to go." And when we have that type of mentality, what actually happens is you shut the door for the mercy of God to come to you. When you pick and choose what you want to believe about God or what you want to receive from the revelation of His Word, then you are either opening the door or closing the door to the mercy that could be yours. There are people who are going to be in hell because they refuse the counsel of God. God has done everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has given us all things. He has given up His best for us. He gave His Son to die for us, that we wouldn't have to perish, but that we could have everlasting life. No. Do you know that everlasting life? Do you have that experience? Do you know Him? We're not here just to learn about God. We're here to encounter Him. We're here to know Him. The written word is to reveal the living word. To know Him is to know life. He who has the Son has life. And so, to those who rejected the word of the Lord, He said, "For those who hear and reject and do not receive my words, the very word that I spoke to you in the last day will judge you." In other words, you and I are responsible for what we know. For what we know in our heart that is true. Because God illuminates you. Times in your life, He shines the light and He reveals truth. And it's your choice whether you want to receive the revelation of God or reject it. And when we receive His word, we are receiving Him. And when you reject His word, guess what? You're rejecting Him. Because you cannot separate God from His Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word became flesh, a man. God became a man in the Son. So you cannot separate Him from the Word because He is the Word. You see, we've got to get beyond the letter to the substance. To the reality. There are some people that are pretty sharp with the Bible. They can quote Scripture. But how many know it's not enough just to know what it says? The purpose of the Word is to reveal Him. That you might know Him. He is the living Word. So when we receive what God says, we are receiving life. Because Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you are spirit and their life." So when a person rejects the counsel of God, they reject the grace that God wants to give them. God wants to bless His people, but He cannot bless a mess. God wants to bless us, but we must get into position to receive the blessing and the favor of God. And being in position means that I humble myself. And I say, "God, whatever You say, You're Lord. I'm not. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought." And even as a believer, to the measure that you receive His truth is the measure that you will be made free. So the first thing that God wants to do is He wants to illuminate us. He wants to shine His light into our hearts, the light of Christ. And open in your Bibles this morning, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been sharing in the last, couple months, pulling down strongholds. And a stronghold is a place of safety that we give to the adversary by being sympathetic towards sin in our lives. In other words, you close off the grace of God by agreeing with your adversary. By doing something that you know God disapproves of, you're agreeing with your adversary. And whoever you yield to, guess what? You're serving that one you yield to. Oh, people, I'm not a worshiper of Satan. Well, you're a worshiper of Satan if you live and you listen to his voice. No, you may not wear the pentagram and the black clothes and the black lipstick. But there are people that are wearing suits and ties that are worshiping Satan. Yes. And they're worshiping him because they're refusing the counsel of God and they're listening to his voice instead. So let's read this, chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? See, they used to have to send letters of commendation so that people would have some type of reference for people when they would come to speak in different locations. Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? He said to the church that you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. It's a letter. Amen. It's like the word is written on the people. It's written in their hearts. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. You see, we today are able to preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit, sent down from heaven. It's not just a letter, but it's also delivered by the Spirit. So the Spirit and the Word agree on earth. It's not enough to have the Word or the Spirit, you've got to have the two together. Would you agree? Because one leads to liberalism and to some weird stuff. If you don't have the Word, which is kind of like the banks of the river. A river is good as long as it's within the banks. But boy, if it overflows those banks, you're in trouble. And the Word of God are the banks. And so we are privileged today to hear the gospel by the Spirit. Not on tablets of stone, like as under the law, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that, listen to him, we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. This is very important that we understand this. Amen? It's not about human wisdom or reasoning or cleverness, but it's got to be by the anointing. It's got to be by the Spirit of God that we minister. Who also made us, speaking of the apostles, sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now here again is the difference between, you know, even as you will hear a message, one as preached, it comes across as a very dry letter. And then there are other times you hear a message when there is an anointing on that word. Amen? It is a fresh word. It is fresh bread. It is from heaven. And it is life-giving. Whenever God spoke through Jesus, amen? Whenever Jesus opened his mouth to speak, he spoke only what he heard his Father speak. Because when he agreed with his Father and he spoke what his Father was speaking, it was life-giving. And he spoke not on his own authority. Even though he was God, he had laid all that aside to become like you and I. And to model what it was like to live in complete obedience to the Father. So when the Father spoke, he spoke. And that's why he could speak with authority. Not as the Pharisees who had the letter of the law. And they were the teachers of that day. The scribes. But Jesus spoke with authority because he was under authority. And if you want authority in your life, you've got to be under authority. And so as he spoke, he said, "These words I'm speaking to you are spirit and life." And the people marveled at his words. They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." Because he was connected to the Father. If you and I want to be effective in ministry, we've got to be connected to the Father. Amen? Amen. We've got to walk with him. We've got to hear his voice. And so in verse 6 he says, you know, we were not made sufficient by ourselves. It's not because we just happen to be great people that are very charismatic people that people like, you know. I didn't win, you know, American Idol or anything like that. It was a matter of God's choosing, God's calling upon his life. And the fact that they were no longer in the dispensation of law, but they had entered into the time of God's grace. So what they could do now is move in the same way that Jesus did, by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Christ has called you and I as his followers to do the same works that he did? And if you say, "Well, I can't do what Jesus did," that's a good thing, because no, neither can I, neither can any of us. Except by the Holy Spirit. Except that our hearts are under submission to the Father. See, God wants to manifest himself through you. God wants to reveal himself through you. But you and I have to place ourselves under his authority to do that. Otherwise, we become what's called a loose cannon. And we run around and we do our own thing and put Jesus' name on it. Come on, there's a lot of people running around doing their own thing, saying, "God said," or "in Jesus' name." When you say Jesus' name, what are you saying? You're saying, "I'm not doing this in my authority. It's not about me. I'm doing this in his authority. I'm representing him when I go in his name." Javier, you here? There's a lot of people called Jesus, right? In Colombia? Jesus. Jesus? Yeah. So it's not just the name, is it? When we talk about Jesus Christ. What we're saying is that I, first of all, am in union with him. I'm born of him. I'm in Christ. And therefore, once you're in Christ, you've received a mantle from God. Amen. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now you have authority to represent him. When I say I go in Jesus' name, I'm not going around just saying the name. I'm saying that when I speak that name, it carries the authority from heaven. Amen. And so before you and I can even get started, folks, God has to shine His light into our hearts. We must first be illuminated. The light has to come on. What is the light? The light is the Word of God spoken to us by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You may hear it from the pulpit. You may hear it in your sleep. You may hear it when you're walking down the aisle of Walmart. God will speak to us at times. Are we willing to listen? Can God speak to us? God knows those who He can speak to. And I pray, Lord God, give me ears to hear. I want to hear Your voice. I don't want to get up there and speak my own stuff. I want to hear from You. I want to speak, hallelujah, what You are speaking. And I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do what I see You doing. I want to be like Jesus. How about you? The Word of God illuminates your heart. The truth will set you free. When the light comes and you agree with God, you quit playing games, quit bargaining with God, you agree with God, the light comes, illumination. That's the first step to transformation. Because the ultimate goal is that you and I will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is it, folks. That we be like Him. And if we reject the counsel of God, if we reject the Word, then we are rejecting that which God wanted to give us. Do you know that God loves you so much? Do you know that He has good gifts for you? He wants to give good gifts to His kids, but you know what? He can't give you a good gift if you don't get into position for it. Again, what is getting into position? It means I repent. I change my mind. I agree with God's Word. I'm in position now. Now God can speak to me. Now I will listen. Now I will obey. And when I do that, I have opened the door for the grace of God to come into my life. And life is always good in the God zone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? That's the ministry today. Amen? He was speaking about the law as Moses went up on the mountain and he had been in the presence of the Lord and his face shone and he veiled his face. How will the ministry of grace or Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. We are living in a better time and a better covenant today. Therefore, since we have hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. How many know that God is not willing that anyone should perish? God wants His ancient people, Israel, amen, to know and realize that He is the Messiah. But blindness has come upon them in part for a season. For the time of the Gentiles is now, the time when the nations can come to Christ. But folks, things are beginning to change. Things are beginning to happen in Israel. Their eyes are beginning to open up. They're beginning to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. God is turning to His ancient people. Do you realize the time that we're living in? That the time of the Gentiles is coming to a close. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed from their eyes. Their eyes are open. They are illuminated by the light of Christ. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So you see, the same light, the illumination, folks, does something for you. When you receive the counsel of God, when you agree with the truth, when you receive truth, truth sets you free. It liberates you. The Word of God illuminates, amen, for the purpose of liberation, that we might be liberated and set free. You know, the Lord wants His people to be free indeed.
Yeah.
But you've got to get into position for that to happen. You've got to agree with God. Quit rationalizing your life. Quit making excuses for your sin. Because as long as you do, you're allowing the devil a foothold in your life. And he doesn't like you at all. His purpose is to destroy you. Folks, I want that dude out. I want nothing to do with him. Give no place to the devil. No sympathy for the devil. Flee from the very appearance of evil. Get away from that junk. Quit watching junk, listening to junk, entertaining junk thoughts. Take every thought captive. Because I want to be clean. I want to be free so that I can be transformed. You see, God illuminates, and then He liberates, and then He transforms. That's the ultimate goal, to be more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So there's a process of purification, because we are the bride of Christ being prepared for eternity. We're in the dressing room of eternity right now. And how many remember that He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish? He's coming for a bride that is prepared. As a matter of fact, the Bible says He's coming for those who are looking for Him. People who walk in darkness. I don't care if you claim to be a believer, a follower of Jesus. You're not a follower of Jesus if you're walking in darkness. Do you know why Christians were called Christians? It wasn't a name they gave themselves. The early church were called Christians. Remember?
Right.
Why? Because they were followers of Him.
Yes.
And it was obvious.
Yes.
They're not like everybody else. They're different. They live clean lives. These people have a peace about them. They have joy. These people are loving. These people are very giving. They're very unselfish. They're like Jesus. They're little Jesuses. That's what they're calling them. They call them Jesus callers. Any Jesus callers in here this morning?
Yeah.
Hey! Jesus! Oh, hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The illumination of Christ in our hearts. Because we position ourselves to receive the truth. Once we receive truth, in the areas that we say yes, we allow the light to come in, the demons have to go. There are people that can get completely set free without anybody laying hands on them and casting the devil out. Simply because they agree with the counsel of God. Because they begin to receive the truth, and the truth sets them free. The light comes in because they open the way, and the demons have to go. The demons can oppress a Christian. He can't possess them, that means ownership. But he can oppress a Christian. Oh, I know some people have a hard time with that, folks, but I'll tell you what, we've cast the devil out of some Christians before. They've been screaming on the floor, being tormented because of unforgiveness and other sin that they allowed in their life. They were not possessed because the God comes in and He dwells in the secret place. Are you with me? But in the soulish realm, they were being tormented. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that if you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. And when you don't forgive, you give license for the tormentors to come in. God doesn't want his people there. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be fulfilled, blessed, extremely happy. All right. Any extremely happy people in here? But we're getting there, right? It's a process. So don't look at your neighbor and say, well, I'm glad, Lord, I'm not like that guy over there. Because we don't have anything that God has not accomplished in us, right? The only thing we can say is, I did good because I agreed with God. All right? That's doing good. And you know what? You should encourage each other that way. You did good. You agreed with God. That's all you got to do is believe God. As a matter of fact, God the Father commended Abraham because he believed him. It all boils down to that one word, doesn't it? Believe. I believe. When I believe, I receive. When I believe what God says, then I'm no longer being wise in my own understanding. Well, I know what the Word says, but I kind of look at it this way. Isn't that the problem? Yeah. You're looking at it your way. Yeah. Get out of your way. Get into His way. Get in the way with Him. Walk in the way with Him. Hallelujah. He wants to set you free. He wants to fill you with His glory, His presence. He wants you to be holy.
Yes.
Holiness is not just stopping this and stopping that. Holiness is agreeing with God. And when you agree with God, you open the way for Him to fill you with who He is. Amen. He is holy. And He is our holiness. Amen. You see the difference between legalism and grace. It's by faith. I believe. When I believe and I agree, I open the way. Hallelujah. Prepare the way of the Lord, John said. Make His path straight. It's not about you and I getting to God. It's God getting to us. He wants to get to you more than you want to get to Him. But you got to get into position. Oh, I love being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but some of you know in my testimony, I was a partier in this world, but I tell you what, there's no party like the party that goes on in heaven.
Amen.
And you can have heaven in your heart if you just prepare the way.
Yeah.
Let me just finish with this today, that the Lord is knocking. We all use that in the altar calls, you know, God's knocking at the door of your heart. Well, guess what? He's knocking at the door of the church. It's Laodicea He was knocking at. And if you and I will agree and open the door, He'll come in. He'll bring light. He'll bring illumination. And then you'll be liberated. Once you're liberated, then the change begins to take place. Why? Because you begin to be filled with His presence. And His presence is what changes you as you're looking into the face of Jesus. You know, when we see Jesus in our hearts, you know, you may not ever see Him with your natural eyes, but with your spiritual eyes in your heart, you behold Him. Through the knowledge of Him, you behold Him. And when you behold Him, you're looking at the one that we are supposed to be like. Yeah. It's an identity crisis. We've got all these identities about who I think I am. I'm like Michael Jackson, or I'm like, you know, Britney Spears, or I'm like Elvis, or I'm like whatever the age and the thing, the hang up people might have with celebrities, and they're trying to be somebody they're not because they don't like who they are. And the reason they don't like who they are is because they don't know who they are. And the only way you're going to know who you are is to know the one who made you.
Amen.
You need to look at Jesus and say, that's what I'm supposed to look like. That's what Adam was like. The first Adam. Come on. And the reason why God had to take on humanity and become the last Adam is because of the sin line that had been passed down from generation to generation. That all of us had been born into that. Into the old Adam. Into corruption. So Jesus, He took on a body like you and I, became a man, dwelt among us, was crucified, dead, and buried, and ascended back into heaven. Hallelujah. Representing us as our intercessor. Mm-hmm. He was sent the Holy Spirit to His church. Hallelujah. His blood, amen, cleanses us from all sin. His Spirit, hallelujah, integrates us into Him who is holy. We become holy people. Not because I'm so good, but because His goodness is in me. Even Jesus said it. There's none good. He said, there's only one who's good. Who's that? God. Because they were looking at the man, and even though he was sinless, we judge by appearance, but God looks upon the heart. So there are no secrets today. He knows who you really are. And folks, God wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know who you are as the identity in which He created you. So, it's your choice. You can say that was a good message and walk out of here. And life goes on. I just live for me. I did it my way. And the whole time the demons are dancing and clapping and rejoicing because they're stealing from you what God has, which is far beyond anything this temporary life could offer you. Oh, come on. Some of us have discovered that there's nothing greater than Him.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I love Jesus. He's my life. I eat, breathe, sleep Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what it's like. That's life. Why? Because I'm walking in my identity. As I am yoked together with Him, me and Jesus are going to go through this together. I'm not alone. In my weakness is His strength. In my inability is His ability. There's nothing that I can't do because the Lord is with me. Unless, of course, it's something that I want to do that God didn't approve of. Now, that's a problem. That's something that you can't do very well. Or you may do it well for a while, but it'll flop eventually. So do you want what God has for you today? Do you want His full blessing and favor on your life? Then what we're going to have to do is say, Lord, I'm giving You the whole offering. I'm done playing church. I'm done playing games. I am giving You my entire life. It's no longer going to be I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Because He is our life. And when He appears, we shall also appear with Him in glory. You allow God to illuminate you. Allow the entrance of His Word. And then He'll break off every chain. Would you bow your head this morning just between you and God? And ask the Lord today, Lord, what are the areas in my life that I need to submit to You? That I need to surrender to You? Now, before I even finish that, the Lord has been speaking to you. Now, you can either agree with Him and cooperate with Him, or you can refuse the counsel of God and then refuse the mercy that could be yours. Refuse the grace that He wants to give you. But if you're sincere today and you mean business, and you're willing to cooperate with Him, begin to surrender those things. Lord, I give You that. Maybe you're dealing with a habit today. It's a nasty habit. You don't want it. It's become a stronghold. First thing you've got to do is identify it, be honest, and confess it. And then renounce your connection to it right now. And in the name of Jesus, take authority over it. Father in heaven, I pray right now You break every chain. Liberate every captive. Lord, open the door and release every prisoner in this place. God, I pray You will send Your anointing right now upon us. Lord God, we pray, break off these strongholds of addiction in Jesus' name. As You agree with Him right now, as You confess those things, as You renounce those things, I want You just to open Your heart and receive now His grace and say, Lord, I receive Your grace instead. I give you the old me. Give me you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised or oppressed. God wants to heal. He wants you to be released from every bondage. He wants to give you eyesight, spiritual eyesight. He wants to break off the heavy yoke of oppression off your life. Will you be willing today to agree with God and say, Lord, I give you my life. Take all of me. I present my body to you as a living sacrifice.